The oak. 1. The oak. 2. Daisy was sitting at her office table trying to do her accounts. The office door was open as she was expecting the gas man to come. 3. Hearing footsteps, Daisy looked up and saw a big wide man at the entrance. "Miss Hamilton, please." This oak of a man was clearly a foreigner. His clothes were worn badly, as though their occupant had slept in them. His accent sounded harsh and unmusical. 4. "Yes, can I help you?" The oak slouched in, sat down opposite Daisy, and looked at her from his half-opened eyes, which studied her constantly. "I hear you are a very bright lady, and that you can be trusted." 5. He spoke these words as though they were at the same time a statement and a question. Daisy didn't know how to reply and decided just to nod her head. 6. "I'll tell you about my little problem. Here is your initial fee. I think £100 will do for the present. I work for the Russian embassy, and what I have to say must not get back there. My name is Ilish Zubkov. You can check that by telephoning me at the embassy this evening, but only pretending to be an acquaintance, of course." 7. "Can you please tell me your problem first? I can't accept to help you without knowing what it entails." Daisy was trying to take time, as she felt rather overwhelmed by this man's strong personality and physique. 8. The oak shut his eyes completely for a minute. He was used to giving orders and being obeyed without question. He decided to make an effort to appear more courteous to an Englishwoman. "My wife has disappeared." 9. The atmosphere was electric. "She went out shopping in the morning 2 days ago and hasn't come back since. I have heard no news at all from her." 10. Daisy got up ostensibly to make some instant coffee, but it was really to be able to study her client better. "Have you informed the police?" said the private eye as she switched on the kettle, which was on top of a bookcase behind the Russian near the door. 11. "In my position, it would be intolerable if, for example, she has run away with another man. I would be, I think you English say, the laughingstock of the embassy." 12. "I spoke only unofficially to an old friend of mine, Detective Inspector Singleton, who made his own discreet inquiries as to whether she had been in an accident or taken to hospital." 13. "He told me that he thought there might be a private reason for my wife's behaviour and suggested I should come to you." 14. "I see. Well, Mr. Zubkov, I shall have to ask you some pretty personal questions." Daisy watched the man's back stiffening and poured out the boiling water into the cups. 15. "Miss Hamilton, I'm here and I'm in your hands." Daisy thought that probably the oak had never pronounced these words before. 16. "I will tell you anything you want to know. Let me anticipate some of your questions. I have no knowledge of another man, and in fact I can't tell you anything at all about why my wife has disappeared." 17. He paused for a moment. "And yes, I love her very much and want her back." 18. Daisy had returned to her seat after giving Mr. Zubkov his instant coffee. Since he was an abrupt man, Daisy felt free to ask him, "And you have no other women?" 19. "No." The oak was beginning to crack, and his lower lip quivered. "Good. Now please give me a description of your wife." 20. "Yes, this is a photo of her. You can keep it, Miss Hamilton." Daisy saw the image of a pretty, intelligent-looking woman of about 40. 21. "What sort of a person is she? Does she work?" "Well, first of all, her name is Valentina. Of course she is much younger than me, but we have been happily married for 18 years. 22. "She is the daughter of a Russian diplomat and an able linguist. Not at all like myself. She studied languages at school in Moscow and perfected them by going abroad. 23. "She speaks English and French perfectly. She reads German and a couple of Slavonic languages. In fact, she helps out at the embassy with translations. 24. "Have you any children?" "Yes, we have 2 daughters who do well at school back home in Russia. I telephoned them to make sure my wife's disappearance had nothing to do with them, but they both assured me that they were perfectly okay. 25. Daisy was finishing her black coffee sip by sip. She had taken in everything she had heard and was trying to work things out. 26. I think this, she summarized, you are sincere in what you say and have no idea why this all happened. But you have given me absolutely no elements to understand why your wife should disappear suddenly with no explanation. 27. The oak loosened his tie and waited for Daisy to continue. So the best thing to do is to reflect if anything she has said recently seems strange and report it back to me. For all we know, she might have already walked into the embassy while you were coming here. 28. The oak seemed temporarily relieved. Miss Hamilton, you are just as Detective Inspector Singleton described. 29. You have given me no false hopes. I will go back to the embassy and do what you have suggested. I think she hasn't returned yet, otherwise my secretary would have called me on my mobile. I told her a lie about my wife visiting friends in Scotland. 30. Mr. Zubkov, if you have any news for me, please call me immediately, day or night. 31. During the night, when burglars do their work, Daisy was woken up by her mobile phone. Zubkov speaking, Miss Hamilton. My wife has come back, but refuses to tell me what happened. 32. I asked her about her disappearance, and she burst into tears and refused to answer any questions. Miss Hamilton, I'm terrified she may leave me again if I insist too much in questioning her. 33. Mr. Zubkov, I'm glad your wife has come back. But as you say, she may take flight again if you upset her. Let me think. Daisy rubbed her eyes and blinked. I could try following her if you like, but you must help me by telling me when she is going out. 34. That's quite difficult, as she is a pretty active person. But I think my wife is going to the dentist this afternoon at 4 o'clock. She probably will keep the appointment, as she has trouble with a wisdom tooth. 35. All right, then. Give me the address and phone number of the dentist, and I'll see what I can do. 36. Daisy had been accepted for an appointment at the dentist's for 6 o'clock. When she arrived early at 3:30, the receptionist was very surprised and told her she must wait a long time. 37. Daisy assured her she didn't mind, settled down in a huge armchair, and nearly fell asleep. After about 20 minutes, the door opened, and the receptionist showed in a very pretty lady of about 40. 38. Mrs. Zubkov, please make yourself comfortable. There are some magazines on the table if you want something to read. 39. Daisy pretended to be sleepy. This part wasn't difficult, and observed Valentina Zubkov from her armchair. 40. She was fair-haired, beautifully slim, and elegantly dressed, very unlike her husband. She wore makeup which only enhanced her fascinating, slightly slanting, emerald-colored eyes. 41. Mrs. Zubkov stared at the floor as if lost in thought, then pulled out a newspaper cutting from her bag and read it over and over again. 42. When the receptionist returned, she put the newspaper cutting away quickly, as though she were guilty of something, and then followed the receptionist into the surgery. 43. As soon as Daisy was left alone, she slipped out down the stairs into the street. She walked until she turned the corner, pulled off her earrings, got out a black velvet bow on a slide, pulled her hair back into a bun, and put on a pair of glasses. 44. It was a disguise Daisy often used. She then took off her reversible mac, pulled it inside out, and put it on again. 45. As a finishing touch, she hid her shoulder bag in a plastic shopper she had kept in her pocket. By now her appearance had completely changed. Daisy prepared to wait for a long time in the doorway of a shop which had closed. 46. It was a full hour before Valentina the Mysterious walked out of the dentist's, down the steps, and out of the gate. She seemed in a dream and wandered off in the direction of the High Street. 47. She looked in shop windows but didn't seem interested in what she saw. As she came across a tea shop, she went in and ordered tea and cucumber sandwiches. 48. Daisy followed Valentina discreetly into the tea shop, sat down behind her, and ordered a plate of cakes and tea. The guilty lady pulled out the newspaper cutting once more from her bag and stared at it again. 49. Daisy quickly pulled a small camera out of her bag, encircling it with the white chiffon scarf she had been wearing, saw that nobody was looking at her, stood up for a couple of seconds, and took a photograph of the newspaper cutting. 50. After a while, Mrs. Zubkov left the tea shop and walked back to the embassy with Daisy following behind. As Mrs. Zubkov disappeared behind the embassy gate, Daisy decided the most important thing she could do was to get a train home and knock up her good friend Dirk, who was a photographer. 51. Dirk, sorry to bother you so late, but could you possibly do me a rush job? There's an important photograph here that I need developed as quickly as possible. 52. It's a bit late, Daisy, but as it's for you, I'll bring it round to your office as soon as possible. An hour later, Dirk arrived at Daisy's office with an envelope. I had to enlarge it. Now the words printed in the cutting are perfectly visible. 53. Daisy opened the envelope and at last read what was written in the newspaper article. It announced the untimely death of Lord Reginald Fitzgerald and that the funeral was fixed for Monday, the 6th of October, the very day Valentina disappeared. 54. Daisy looked through some newspapers which had been left in her office by forgetful clients to find out more about Lord Fitzgerald. There it is, she said to herself. 55. Lord Reginald Fitzgerald died in a riding accident. He had been married for 26 years. There was also a picture of his son Paul Valentine Fitzgerald, a young man with longish fair hair of about 20. He was a fairly good-looking youth, and there was something about his eyes. 56. Mr. Zubkov, Daisy speaking. I think I have the solution. Can you come and see me? Daisy could sense the tension at the other end of the line. I'll be there as soon as I can. Goodbye. 57. Daisy was still eating her Chinese takeaway meal when Mr. Zubkov arrived. The oak rather fell onto the chair in Daisy's office. His face looked strained, but he said nothing and sat waiting for Daisy to report her news. 58. Mr. Zubkov, I'll tell you a story. Maybe some of it's true, maybe not. When I get to the end of it, you will judge for yourself. The oak just stared at Daisy. 59. About 20 years ago, a clever young Russian girl, wishing to perfect her knowledge of English, came over here and met an attractive and intelligent man, a member of the aristocracy, a lord, in fact. 60. Unfortunately, the man was already married, so when the Russian girl became pregnant, she had only two choices, to undergo a termination, or have the baby secretly, and then have it adopted immediately after. 61. In that period of history, a lord having an affair with a Russian diplomat's daughter would have caused a lot of trouble had it been made public. 62. The oak seemed paralyzed. Daisy went on. The young woman chose to have the baby in England, secretly with the help of the lord. She was very slim, and her pregnancy didn't show much. 63. After the birth of the baby, the girl signed some papers to permit an immediate adoption and returned to her own country. 64. Now let's come out to modern times. One day this lord dies, and there is a picture of his son in the newspaper. The son's name is the masculine version of her own. 65. The young man's slanting eyes look just like her very own. She must find out if he is her long-lost son. Did the Englishman adopt his own child? 66. After all, he had no children with his wife, and maybe this had been his only opportunity to have the son he desired so much. 67. So Valentina goes to the funeral and realizes that the young Paul Valentine Fitzgerald looks very like herself, and that he must be her son, the son she thought she would never be able to find or see again, or admit to. 68. Daisy handed the photocopy of the newspaper article to Mr. Zubkov. He stared at it, still in great tension, then he took to breathing more regularly and looked relieved. 69. Please give me a glass of water, Miss Hamilton. The Russian drank thirstily. Valentina must have suffered a lot, but she could have told me. Many girls have made the same mistake. 70. Mr. Zubkov thought for a few moments. I'll be frank with you yet again, Miss Hamilton. I imagined the worst, that she had met a much younger man. Mr. Zhukov looked down at his clothes. An attractive and smarter man. 71. He cleared his throat. What happened before my wife and I met has nothing to do with me. I'm willing to help her in any way, now and always. I will tell her this one day. 72. But I hope you are not going to tell her you employed a private detective to spy on her. 73. No, certainly not, Miss Hamilton. I will say nothing to my wife until she comes and confides in me. I know my appearance and manner is rather imposing, but I'm a little different to what people would imagine. Daisy was quite moved. 74. Thank you, Miss Hamilton. I will always remember your kindness. The oak took Daisy's hand and kissed it, then disappeared out into the darkness of the night. 75. Months later, Daisy was sorting through society magazines, trying to find out more about a new client of hers, when she came across an article about a magnificent reception given by the Russian embassy and a list of illustrious guests. 76. One guest in particular Daisy found very interesting, Lord Paul Valentine Fitzgerald. There was also a picture of Mr. and Mrs. Zhukov smiling and talking to the young green-eyed lord.